Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I am your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you for joining us once again as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. And we're going to continue here in our study through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're here in chapter number 1. And we've been looking at verse number 9, which says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." And what we've been looking at over the last couple of episodes is this idea of this service that the Apostle Paul is making a reference to here, that the saints in the local assembly in Thessalonica were actually doing. And where we left off is this issue of what actually determines the service that the members of the local assembly are having today. Now, the service that we have, the only way that this service could actually be pleasing to God is when an individual has put their trust in the gospel message. I want to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, where we're going to see the gospel message that is for us today. And we'll pick up right here in verse number 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, which says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now that's the gospel message that actually saves an individual today. This is the only message that can actually produce salvation. And when a person puts their trust in what is said here, they become a member of the body of Christ, and then they can be pleasing unto God and doing the service that God intends for every member of the body of Christ today. Now we get an understanding of what it means related to our service by understanding the doctrine that has been given to us. And we understand that doctrine when we look at a passage that tells us how it is that we're supposed to study the Word of God. Let's go over here to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And we'll see where the Apostle Paul, you know, even though in chapter number 3 where he talks about that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Even though he says that, he does give us the understanding of exactly how it is that we're to be applying that all Scripture that he's making a reference to. Let's go here to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. We're going to read verse number 15, which says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And the whole issue comes down to our study, which is going to allow us to not be ashamed. And he tells us that we need to rightly divide the word of truth. That means we have to have that understanding of exactly what part of the Scriptures apply to us today and what parts of Scripture don't directly apply to us today. And we know that when we look at the Scriptures in this manner, that we get the understanding of that the doctrine that is for us today directly comes from starting in the book of Romans, ending with the book of Philemon. And when we take those passages and have that understanding, we then know exactly how it is that we're supposed to live our life, how that service is supposed to actually play itself out. That's why when you see the Apostle Paul in his prayer life, you see how it is that he prays for these individuals. Let's go over to the book of Colossians. We'll go to Colossians chapter number 1, where we'll see the Apostle Paul actually talk about this prayer that he has for them. And here in Colossians chapter number 1, we'll start here at verse number 9. It says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Now, as you look at this prayer that he's offering up, and he's saying that he didn't cease to pray for them, you see how the first part of this prayer is related to the increase in the knowledge, that they would be filled with this knowledge of his will. And the only way to be filled with this knowledge is to be studying the Word of God rightly divided. And when that doctrine has been taken in, the result of it is going to be what we see in verse number 10, when it says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That the doctrine comes into the individual, and as a result of that doctrine coming in, they are then pleasing unto God, because the doctrine is going to affect how the person lives their life. This is why you see the Apostle Paul talk about the things that he does. For example, let's go over to Romans chapter number 12, where we're going to see the Apostle Paul talk about things related to the mind of the individual. And here in Romans chapter number 12, we're going to read here the first two verses of the chapter, which say, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now the individual gets to the point of where they are, and it describes it as that living sacrifice, proving the will of God. And it all comes about as a person is having this transformation by the renewing of their mind. Now, unfortunately, what happens for all of us prior to our salvation is we have all of these different things that have been put into our mind, you know, by society, by the schooling that we've received, by the upbringing from our parents, you know, things that have been told to us by our friends or acquaintances. All of these different things that have filled our mind, filled who we are. Then you have, even as an individual has salvation and is starting to understand the Word of God rightly divided, all of those things are continuing to come at the individual. And what has to happen is that the Word of God needs to come into the individual, so that way there can be this renewing of the mind, so that way it can truly have an impact on the individual, have the impact on who they are, and this would allow for them to then be walking in a manner that would be pleasing unto God. This is what truly is intended for the believer today. Now, what we see is that the scriptures actually talk about how this learning, how this renewing of the mind is actually accomplished in the life of the believer as they are taking the Word of God in. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, to where we can see what it is that the Apostle Paul says about the renewing of the mind here. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, we're going to start here at verse number 6, and we're going to end up reading through the end of the chapter, which is really going to be talking about exactly what's going to happen with this individual. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting at verse 6, says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of the world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Now, as the Apostle Paul closes that thought and talks about how we have the mind of Christ, we have the mind of Christ because we have the complete Word of God. So we have all of the information that's needed, and what has to happen is that an individual has to use the principle that comes out in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, studying the Word of God rightly divided, taking in the doctrine, taking in these spiritual things, as the Apostle Paul's recording it here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and as the person is taking in these spiritual things, the Holy Ghost can then compare the spiritual things with the spiritual things, making the connection inside of us so that we have the insight into what it is that the Word of God is actually saying. Now, as we're reading this, we know that the only way that this can actually be accomplished is by the fact that a person has put their trust in the gospel, because it's the only way that the Spirit can be inside of the individual to compare the spiritual things with the spiritual things. So that way the person could then have that exact understanding of what it is that the Word of God is telling them. This is, I always like to equate it to like the old cartoons when somebody would have that, all of a sudden that idea pops in their head and that light bulb appears over their head. That's the Holy Ghost in this case, as we're studying the Word of God. If you've ever studied the Word and all of a sudden you finally see that idea of, you know, you're struggling with something and then all of a sudden now I understand exactly what it is that God is trying to tell me through the Word. That's the Holy Ghost comparing the spiritual things with the spiritual things. So that way the person has the perfect understanding of what it is that the Word of God is telling them at that moment. You know, that's why the doctrine is so important. That's why when you see what the scriptures talk about, that God's will be all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth, because the person needs to have that truth so that way they can know exactly what it is that they're supposed to be doing, so that way they know exactly what that service is supposed to be. That's why you see the Apostle Paul, as he talks about holding to this truth. Let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 1, where we're going to see him make a reference to, you know, this you know, the struggles that individuals have. We're going to read in verses 13 and 14 of 2 Timothy chapter number 1, when it says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us." And the person needs to keep that doctrine that's been given to us, to have that understanding, to allow for what the Apostle Paul talks about. And let's go over to Ephesians chapter number 4, to where we can see what it is that has to happen in the life of a believer today. We're going to read verse 14 of Ephesians chapter number 4, which says, "That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive." And the idea is, as a person is being built up in the doctrine, then the end result of that is that they're not going to be tossed about by this understanding that individuals try to pull them into, leading them on a path that a person should not be going down. That's why the Apostle Paul, when he talks about the life which we're supposed to be living, he says things, for example, let's go over to Galatians chapter number 5, to where he says, right here, the very first verse of the chapter, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And how individuals get themselves tied up in this yoke of bondage, tied up in, unfortunately, trying to put themselves under that law system, thinking that that's what they're supposed to be doing, and not understanding that the Word of God tells us exactly how it is that we're supposed to be living our life today. And it has nothing to do with, as the Apostle Paul says here, about being entangled again in that yoke of bondage, which is Israel's law program. The believer today, in order to understand how they're supposed to be living their life, let's go over to Titus chapter number 2, to where we'll see the Apostle Paul actually say exactly how a person understands the information that is needed today. And here in Titus chapter number 2, we're going to start here verse number 11, which says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." The idea is that the individual, instead of trying to put themselves under what the Apostle Paul called that yoke of bondage over in the book of Galatians, a person needs to put themselves under the doctrine that's laid out in the books of Romans through Philemon, the information related to what it says, the grace of God, which first of all brings salvation to all men, but then it's the grace of God that does this next part, when it's the grace of God teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. So it's the grace of God that teaches us these are the things we're not supposed to be doing. And the grace of God also teaches us when it says we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So just as the grace of God teaches us there are certain things we're not supposed to do, the grace of God also teaches us that there are certain things that we should be doing as part of that service, as part of that, where the Apostle Paul said that the people in Thessalonica were the ensamples. He writes in Philippians talking about how they're functioning as shining lights in this crooked and perverse nation. All of these different things, because what God really intends, let's go over to Ephesians chapter number 2, where we can see what it is that God is saying about individuals here. And in Ephesians chapter number 2, we're going to start here verse number 8, which says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and it not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, we're going to read the next verse in a moment here, but you know, this is a very familiar passage to individuals who understand right division. It deals with the fact that this is how we're saved. We're saved by grace through faith. It has nothing to do with anything that we have done. It's all what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us on the cross at Calvary. But God also talks about there's a purpose behind this, and that's where verse 10 is actually going to lay this out here when it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And that's a big difference between what you see under the law, where a person has to do these things, and if they don't do them, there's going to be a punishment that's going to come about on them because they failed to follow through with what God says. Here we have a thing of that there's things that we should do. If we do them, we're building the gold, silver, and precious stones that'll be there at the judgment seat of Christ. If we do not build those things, it's going to be the wood, hay, and stubble, and the fact that we're going to lose the rewards that we should have had. Now, what the Apostle Paul does is he lays out in his epistles a lot of different things that lay out exactly what it is that we're supposed to be doing in our lives, and lays out, you know, as he gives the doctrine which we're applying to our lives, he also gives practical information that tells us these are the things, if we do them, we will be pleasing to God. And we're going to look at a couple of examples here. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter number 4. You know, and in the book of Ephesians, you can see how there's a division between the first three chapters, which lay out a lot of the doctrinal information that a person has to understand. And then starting in chapter number 4, the Apostle Paul lays out some practical points that the believer really needs to be trying to apply to their life in order to be pleasing to God, in order to be serving God in the way that he intends. And we're going to read here, let's read verse number 25 of Ephesians chapter number 4. It says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." So here we have the Apostle Paul, as he says here, you know, we're to put away lying. So we're not supposed to lie to individuals. And he tells us what it is that we're supposed to be doing. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. And the reason behind is we are members one of another. So we're to put away lying, and we're to be speaking the things of the truth. A very practical thing related to how it is that we should serve in God. Continue on here, verse number 26, when it says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Again, a very practical piece of information about, you know, be angry and sin not. He doesn't say, don't be angry. He says, you know, the idea of be angry and sin not, that the idea is that the action that comes about from the anger, which would be the thing, and when we see sin there, that would be a definition of whatsoever is not of faith, the things that could cost an individual their rewards. He's telling the believer, you know, it's okay to be angry, just don't let the anger actually result in you doing something that's going to be displeasing to God. Continues on here, verse number 27. "Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." Again, this practical piece of don't steal, but you should be working, and the result of your work is that you're going to have to be able to give to individuals that have a need. One more one, the next verse, verse 29, which says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Now, I probably don't have to tell anyone what corrupt communication actually really is, but here we have the Apostle Paul saying, this is not how you're to be speaking, but rather the things that you're speaking should be to edifying, to building individuals up, that may minister grace unto those who are hearing it. Those are the things that a believer should be doing as part of their service today. Now, in our next episode, we're going to start actually verse number 10. You know, it's been a while as we've been going through this, but we're finally going to hit the end of this chapter. And as we close, I always like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have information about how to watch our Sunday services, you know, live on Facebook. There's information that's going to be coming up very shortly about a YouTube live broadcast that's going to be happening as well as part of this. We have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option. You know, we have all sorts of different things. You know, we have a seminar that's going to be coming up in the first weekend of October. You know, so we would love to see you there. And if you ever have any questions or comments, feel free to contact us at any time. We would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.